Not even God can do that, but he will use you to get it accomplished. And so we love you, and we receive you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. And so, excuse me, with that being said, Sister Julie, she hit on one of the scripture verses that I had boxed off of the ones that I had just extracted from the Word of God just to go over tonight. And one of them was out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, where it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. We are more than conquerors. We are victorious, and God will always cause us to triumph. This is why we don't have to worry about being in the valley, because being in the valley is only for one reason. I love what my man of God, Pastor Rob Parsley, said. Being in the valley is for only one reason, and that is to defeat your Goliath and then get on out of there. Amen? So whatever it is that God wants you to get victory over, get the victory and then come on out of that thing. How long you stay there is based on your ability to listen to the voice of God and obey the voice, because the Lord will speak. The writer said it like this. The psalmist said it, and then in Hebrews, the writer echoes it. In the day that you hear the Lord's voice, do not harden your heart as it was in the rebellion. And it was in the wilderness where the children of Israel, they were faced with challenges. And the challenges that they were faced with, God brought them to it in order to see what was in them and to see how they would handle it. Because when God brought them out of Egypt, he brought them out with a mighty arm, an outstretched arm, a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He not only had them plunder the Egyptians, made them pay 400 years of salary that was owed to the children of Israel, because they were enslaved for over 400 years. And God made them pay in one night all of the salary that was due from those that had died in Egypt, even those that had been enslaved and had not been paid. They got it all in one night. Then God brought them out, and he brought them to the Red Sea. And they were faced at the Red Sea with the Red Sea before them and behind them Pharaoh and his army coming after them. And they were perplexed as to what's to do. So Moses looks to God, and God says, what's that in your hand? It's a rod. Stretch it out. And he stretches it out, and the Red Sea parts. And they go across on dry land. And they get across, and God says, your enemy that you see now, you won't see them no more. And when the enemy tried to do what the people of God did, it didn't work for them. That's the message in and of itself. And so when they got out in the midst, God waited till the enemy got out in the midst of the sea. Then he closed the waters up on them. That wasn't enough. God took them into the wilderness, took them to the place of Marah. Marah means bitter. And so God was showing them a reflection of their hearts, that they still had bitterness in them. And God was trying to work out of them what 400 years of captivity and bondage had worked into them. And so God would have them, he would confront them with the challenge. They wanted water. The water was bitter. God said, take that tree, throw it in the water. And he threw it in the water, and the waters were sweetened. If that wasn't enough, God gave them manna from heaven, and he also gave them water from a rock. And that's one thing, getting water from a rock. That's a miracle. But the rock followed them all around in the wilderness. That's what the word teaches us. That rock followed them, and that rock was Christ making provision for them. And so every challenge that they were facing, God was trying to work out of them what Egypt had worked in them in order to get his people to be free. And God always wants us to be free. You are at your best when you are free. You do yourself a good service to abandon and forsake weaknesses, problems that you've been plagued with for years and years and years. It's time to break those curses. If they're family curses that go from one generation to the next generation, it's time to break that thing off, because God's got a place that he wants to take you to, but he don't want to take all of that baggage with you, because it's not going to do you any good. And so God's word says, thanks be unto God. He always gives us victory. I like victory. If you like losing, something's wrong with you. I don't like losing at anything. Even when I lose, I don't like it, but I'm not a sore loser. In other words, I can handle the loss. And it's not all about me. You just put yourself in that place. I can declare to you or talk about myself because I know me. And you can do the same for you. But I hate losing. You know, my last activities of sports was volleyball. And we would go on picnic, not necessarily picnics, but it would be like the annual gathering where we would go and we would do the water baptism and things like that. And I would love to get the volleyball net set up and play volleyball. But I hated losing. Nobody likes to lose that's in their right mind. Everybody celebrates winning. Jesus is a winner. He doesn't call us to himself to be losers, but winners. And everything that works against us, that prevents us from winning or being who he's called us to be or doing what he's called us to do, everything that would hinder us, he wants to set us free from those things. You don't want to be going half-baked in your walk and relationship with Christ Jesus. You want to be complete. You want to be whole. Half-baked, nobody likes half-baked food. You ever ate some half-baked bread? I haven't, because I know I wouldn't like it. Just the thought of it, it's like, ugh. You know, you bite into it, and it's still doughy. No, you want some good bread. You want some fresh bread out of that oven that's cooked all the way through. You don't want to have a half-baked relationship with God. You don't want to be like, you know, in the middle. And it's like you're not where, you know that old saying, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I'm supposed to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Let's get rid of that mindset and mentality. Let's press on for what we are to be in Christ Jesus. Let's abandon and forsake the things, forgetting those things that are left behind, and reach forward for everything that God has laid up for us in Christ Jesus. And he will always give us the victory. He will always cause us to triumph. And through it all, we give him thanks. Through it all, we give him praise. Through it all, we go through with a grateful heart. Lord, in the bad times, I'm grateful. Lord, in the good times, I'm grateful. Lord, at all times, I'm grateful. Because you are the one that keeps me. You are like that poem that somebody coined, somebody wrote about footsteps. Many of us have read that poem at one point in time. It's like through the most difficult times. You know, here we are walking through the sand, walking on the beach, and when I look back, I see two sets of footprints, so I know that you're with me. But then when it gets to the most trying and most difficult times, I only see one set of footprints. And it's like, what's up with that? Allow me to just dive into it a little bit. What's up with that? Why is it that I only see one set of footprints? Why aren't things working out the way they ought to work out for me? And Jesus says, my child, it was at that time that I was carrying you. Because he has promised he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will not abandon us. He'll be with us even unto the end of the age. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. And I'm telling you, you gotta appreciate even the bad times. things. What do you mean by that? Oh, it's not like you say, Lord, send me some bad times. I just wait for some bad times. I'm just longing for some bad times. Lord, make everything just work against me, please. No, you don't pray like that. It's, Lord, make everything work together for my good. Whatever it is coming my way, and I'm just going to be thankful and grateful and bless your holy name because you're faithful. You will not change. You will be with me. He was with the children of Israel when he delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He was with them when they went across on dry ground and Pharaoh and his army was drowned in the Red Sea. He was with them when he took them into the wilderness. He went before them as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He was with them. His presence was with them. The angel of the Lord was with them. God was leading them. And yet there were those that continued to rebel against God. They rebelled because they refused to give up that Egyptian mentality. Not that they were Egyptians, but they had adopted who the Egyptians conformed them to be, slaves and in bondage. They were the people of God. They were the blessed of the Lord. They were of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet they were in bondage for all of those years. And it says that over 3 million, through commentaries, there were like 3 plus million people that were led out. And most of them died in the wilderness because of a hardening of the heart. They refused to let those things go that kept them in bondage. Don't let things keep you in bondage any longer. Don't allow yourself to be denied of who you are in Christ Jesus, who God has said you are. Don't let those things keep you out of your promised land. Am I making any sense? Don't be plagued any longer. You are blessed, and the devil can't do anything about it. The only thing he can do is try and trick you to do something against God that'll bring you out of the will of God, that will cause you to suffer the very elements that the wicked suffer from. But as long as you walk in the favor and blessing and promise and obedience unto God, you can expect goodness and mercy to follow you and not demons. You can expect God to do what he said he will do. Because he's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. What he said he will do, if he spoke it, he will make it good. That's all you need to know. God said it. That settles it. Whether we believe it or not. What do I mean by that? You can tell others. You don't have to tell people everything that God has told you, because sometimes that gets you in trouble. Some things you have to keep to yourself, like Mary. You have to keep those things hidden in your heart. But you can tell others, and others may try and come against that. But what matters most is God said it. It doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what God says. And if God said it, he will do it. If he spoke it, he will make it good. So what do, Pastor? We walk like it's already done. Hallelujah. We don't wait till it manifests to rejoice. We rejoice right now because we know it's on the way. Hallelujah. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We walk with expectation. Expecting what? Expecting God. We give more credit and credence to the devil in making our day miserable than we do to God in causing our day to be prosperous. We're programmed to think negative. You better save for a rainy day. Why save for a rainy day? What's the rainy day? In case stuff happens. Save because you're able to save. Not because something bad may happen. You don't anticipate the bad happening. What you anticipate is the blessing and the favor of God. If trouble does happen, God's going to take care of it. But you're not planning for that. You're planning for the will of God to be perfected and performed in your life, complete, that there is no T uncrossed, no I not dotted, concerning your life and concerning God's purpose for you. You want every T crossed, every I dotted, every jot, every tittle fulfilled. The work that God has given you to do, you want to make sure that you fulfill it. Lord, I want to die empty. I want to die having completed the work that you have called me to do. When I stand before you, I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear the words of, this is what you could have done, this is what you should have done, this is what you missed out on. Mm-mm. We're not raising up average believers in this house. We're raising up strong men and women of God, who believe in, trust in, rely upon God, whose very existence is only because of God Almighty. No matter what you have, no matter what you are blessed with, you understand that the only reason that you are in this earth is to fulfill the hope of His calling. You have committed your life to Him, and in His hands your life rests. He is your peace. He is your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Levites didn't understand that. God is like, I'm your reward. I'm your inheritance. He gave all of the other tribes land. But He said, for the Levites, I am your inheritance. Oh, praise God. You get Him, you got everything. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. We are blessed. Glory to God. And we don't need nobody to tell us because God has already said it. What they do is simply echo what they have witnessed or what they have heard concerning you. You are a blessed man and woman of God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now thanks be unto God, which always, everybody say always. What does always mean?
All the time.
All the time. Let's just say, Brother Fenderton. Always, all the ways, all the time, always causes you to triumph. Even when you feel beaten down, the very fact that you still have breath in your body, the punch hurt, it knocked you down, not the wind out of you, dazed you, but you still have breath. And what does the psalmist say? Somebody tell me before I yell it out. What does the psalmist say? You still have breath. What does the psalmist say? Oh, come on. Preach to me, please. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I still got a praise in me because I still got breath in me. And with that breath, I'm going to praise God. And that praise is going to lead me into victory.
Ha! He'd be saying, we thought we had him. We hit him pretty good. We thought we had Jesus too. Had him day one, day two, day three. He broke loose. And he made a fool out of us. He marched us before all the people. He marched around for 40 days, seen by over 500 at one time, showing and proving that He had been raised from the dead. He made a fool out of us openly. That's what the scripture teaches. He mocked them when He rose from the dead. Huh. When you rise up after the enemy hits you with his best shot, you mock him because he hits you with his best. But
but it didn't knock the wind of praise out of you. You still had a praise. You still were able to thank God. And because you did that, thanks be unto God who always, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Stand to your feet. Master, we thank you. We thank you for the offerings. Is there anyone in here who does not have a Thanksgiving meal for tomorrow? Show of hands if there is anyone. Okay, everybody's got a turkey. Good. Or you know where to go get some turkey. Praise God. I didn't see no hands, so praise God. Father, we thank you for provision. We thank you for provision for your sons and daughters. For tomorrow, many will gather together with their families and offer up thanks. Tonight, we'll go into the MP room and just take a moment just to have a little Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving meal with our family of God here. And thank you for tonight and everyone that came forward to give praise and thanks to you and testify of your goodness. Continue to move and continue to work, continue to add, continue to increase, continue to multiply. Cause us to see the goodness and the glory of God like never before as we continue to press towards you, the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless the offerings that have been presented before you tonight. On behalf of your sons and daughters, we stand before you. We stand before our Melchizedek, Jesus. He is our King of righteousness. He is our King of peace, our Prince of peace. And Lord Jesus, we present these offerings to you to worship the Father. You are the greater one. We are the lesser. We come with the promises of your word. You've said that you will bless us. You will bless those who bless us. You would curse those who would curse us. And through us, through Abraham and his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Use us, Lord, for worldwide evangelism. Use us to win our cities, our neighborhood, our state of California, one of the most liberal states in the union. You sent revival through this place that spread across the United States of America and around the world before. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it. Let it begin in California and let it spread abroad. Do it again, Master. Let the fire, let that catalyst, Lord God. Let us be that catalyst that just speeds everything up and just accelerates, Lord God, into full flame revival all across the land. Father, we've seen you move. In the political arena, we've seen you move through the church of the living God. And right now, Father God, there are many that are perplexed, many that are confused, many that are in an uproar, Lord God. And we pray for the salvation of their souls. We pray for the divine opportunity of preaching the gospel, that they would now have a heart that is ready to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. As you saved us, as you were patient with us, now so Lord, be save them, be patient with them, but bring them in, Lord God. In wrath, remember mercy. We pray for the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We pray for the greatest revival that the world has ever seen or known in our day and time. In Jesus' name, bless this offering. Bless your sons and daughters. Fulfill your promises to them. Yes and amen. And may they see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Bless them. Keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Let your name be over them and their household, that you may bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else,
they may prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against them, but they'll triumph over and conquer the gates of hell because of who they are and because of whose they are, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, mainstay, prop, and support of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go and bless the works of your hands and order your steps, direct your path, guide you with his eye and to the fulfillment of his will. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed said amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving from the depths of our hearts. May you enjoy tomorrow to the maximum and then come to church on Sunday and tell us about it. Hallelujah. Bring the family members with you. Amen.